This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:07 and this is the evening edition with Lynn. So, if you were born after 1990, did you feel discriminated against while you were in school? I'm asking for a very specific reason, because there's a survey out that suggested that younger people are actually more likely to have felt that way compared to older people. So this is based on a survey that was commissioned by Sekolah Semua, an initiative aiming to address identity-based discrimination in schools, and it was conducted on 2,441 school graduates. And that 1990 cutoff is a little bit arbitrary, but let me explain. So this is the percentage of respondents that have reported experiences of perceived discrimination, and it's actually highest in the 18 to 30 age group. So in this age group, 59% of the people responding said that they did experience perceived discrimination. Meanwhile, in the 31 to 45 age group, that drops to 45%, and it drops even further, 43% in the 46 and above age group. Overall, though, it's not good news. 50% of all the respondents have experiences of perceived discrimination. 36% said that it was they had verbal discrimination. 21% bullying or harassment. 18% said that they were denied opportunities because of their identities. And if we look further at the race-based breakdown, at least according to the survey, 60% of Malaysian Indians said that they experienced discrimination. 54% of other Bumiputras. 51% of Malays. 46% of Malaysian Chinese. So the survey noted that each participant's understanding of discrimination may vary. And I think that that is actually quite a crucial point to bring up, because when we talk about something like discrimination, especially why I think the survey falls back to using the words perceived discrimination, is because it's quite a personal thing. And there isn't exactly a one size fits all definition to say this is what it is. But I think we can get some sense of it in terms of verbal discrimination, bullying, harassment, things like that. And the fact that it appears to be getting worse the younger you are, either indicates, I suppose, that things are getting worse in schools, or it indicates that the further you are from the time that you were in school, the more likely it is that you perhaps have forgotten, or changing societal norms mean that you perhaps didn't perceive discrimination at the time. I'm really not sure. That's what we're going to be getting into shortly. But we'd like to know, essentially, how do you feel about this? Do you remember facing discrimination while you were still in school, and how did you handle it? For my part, I don't remember actually facing that so much, although I know of my friends who did. And in my school, at least, I remember it being from teachers towards students. But very curious to hear what your experiences were like. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we're going to be joined by Jason Wee, co-founder of Architects of Diversity and coordinator for the Sekolah Semua campaign. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Beyond frivolous matters, BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:12 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. We are talking today about perceived discrimination in schools. This is coming from a survey that was commissioned by Sekolah Semua, which is an initiative aiming to address this issue of identity-based discrimination in schools. And it essentially found that it appears as if younger people are perceiving that they've experienced more discrimination, 59% in the 18 to 30 age group compared to 45% in the 31 to 45 age group. So we'd like to know, not necessarily which age group you belong in per se, but whether you remember facing discrimination while you were still in school, and how did you handle it? That number to call is 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And we're now crossing over to Jason Wee, co-founder of Architects of Diversity, coordinator for the Sekolah Semua campaign. Jason, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
So let's start off with this, right? Tell us more about the Sekolah Semua initiative.
Right. Sekolah Semua started, I guess, from a place where, because we observed, no one has worked on discrimination in schools specifically before. After working on Architects Diversity for a while, we started to question, how do we get schools to become better places for intergroup interactions between different racial groups, between religious groups, etc.? And discrimination is a huge word. By no means it is a singular experience, right? But no one had proper data, no one properly investigated it on a systematic level before this. And more importantly, no one was talking about policies to address discrimination. We always hear stories of discrimination from our friends, from our elders, from younger people, but we did not have a place to collect these stories and to systematically address it in a way that would put us to a better place.
So this might sound simplistic, right? But why do you think it's important to address this problem of discrimination, especially at the school level?
Yeah, I'm sure you know everyone can recognize that discrimination is bad. But I don't think people know that, number one, it hurts academic performance, right? In external studies overseas, it's not in Malaysia, but you could imagine that it could apply here, that those who experience racial discrimination specifically had lower GPAs, had lower attendance, had lower participation in classrooms. But beyond academic performance, I think it definitely hurts mental health as well. Those who experience discrimination have higher rates of depression, stress, anxiety, and loneliness, and all these contribute to a bad environment for our young Malaysians, right? I think beyond these, you know, on the individual level, we are very direct, we can recognize these harms clearly. But at the more structural level, right, discrimination hurts our social cohesion between our communities, right? When we have poorer interactions between groups, that we end up avoiding interactions in the future, and that really hurts the ability for our country to communicate across lines.
So talk to us about this survey in particular. How was it run by the team? How did you conduct it?
Great. Yeah, so we conducted the survey with Face AI, which is an online panel and pollster. We had 2,441 respondents, which is not a convenient sample. So this is not your Facebook survey. This is a representative survey of Malaysia. We oversampled uniquely racial minorities and corrected for that oversampling with weights, post-stratification weights. The reason we did this is because we wanted to make sure that we had enough statistical power to make group comparisons between racial groups. We asked them about their experiences with discrimination, and then we analyzed the survey between subsets. So we looked at who were discriminated, and we looked at, for those who were discriminated, what happened there, and those who reported the cases of discrimination and didn't report. I will preface that, you know, the survey is, you know, this is not the ideal way of investigating discrimination. The ideal way would be to go down to schools and study with current students and teachers. But unfortunately, we are prohibited from asking racial or religious questions in education research at the moment.
So I said this earlier, you have also said this, that it's hard in some ways to fully encompass discrimination, right? To think about all the different forms it might take. But for the purpose of our conversation and the survey, how would you define what it encompasses?
So I think discrimination, at least the ones we referred to, happened on a number of levels. So the first one is clearly at the interpersonal level, right? So this means verbal discrimination, the use of slurs, being harassed, bullied, being excluded by a group. And then we have the more social and structural levels, which include, I think it's definitely harder to encompass, which is the lack of or being denied access to opportunities because of your identity, right? And that's the one that perhaps people might not encompass or think about it as discrimination, but it is something that we included in our survey as well. But I think, you know, with the survey, it really focused in and zoomed in on interpersonal discrimination, which is definitely something we can all agree and that should not happen within our education system.
So to get granular or specific, what are some reported acts of discrimination? Who are the people that students or the graduates experience this discrimination from?
Yeah. So for who is discriminating, right? For a lot of it, you know, I let me read out an excerpt from the survey because I think that's really powerful. I'll read out, I'm a Selangor-born Sarawakian. Thus, I have this bold accent as my mother tongue is Bidayo language and everything pronounces in deep accents. I went to SMK, not from Kapar. One day in my classroom when I was 13 years old, I was answering teachers' questions and with the accent I had, the classroom is laughing at me. It gets worse when some classrooms bullied me by mimicking my accent over and over again for years. In our survey, 68% of those discriminated mentioned that students of the same age were the perpetrators of that discrimination. We further had 55% saying it was their senior students and 54% saying it was their teachers, right? So we also highlight that, you know, it might not be a who, But some stories also mention what. So it could be a school policy that no single individual was responsible for, but discrimination can also happen at a more social level where it's a norm or a practice that is simply acted out by teachers or school administrators and the like.
Overall, what were some of the findings that really stood out to you?
Yeah, I think as you mentioned in the beginning, about younger Malaysians reporting more perceived discrimination. I think this stood out to me because, we often hear of older Malaysians saying that Malaysia was better in the past, the great, 60s, 70s, 80s. And so far, every time I hear that in my head, I record it as a myth. That's not actually true, that there were probably problems back then. But our survey showed that, contrary to that, even when provided the same definitions and same examples, younger Malaysians reported more perceived discrimination than other Malaysians, 59% or 3 in 5 younger Malaysians. Now, why could this be the case? It could be that there is a rise of race-based narratives that happened in that period of time that was experienced by their parents, which then transmitted to the young, right? So that's one possible hypothesis. The second one, it could also be because of external influences that are increasing, especially with, as media had grown in the past few decades, right? Where studies have shown that negative and threatening information about other groups gets spread faster over social networks. Now, when technology is improved, this negative sentiment could also be exacerbated. And that's why perhaps younger Malaysians have been more exposed to prejudices and attitudes that hurt them.
Do you think there is the possibility, and this is just something that I was thinking about aloud, this idea of being further away from your schooling days and therefore having a bit more distance from it and therefore perhaps remembering less?
That's definitely true. That's possible as well. This is a retrospective study in Nature, and the report very well demonstrates that limitation. It could be the case, that fondness it's more experienced by older folks, and that could definitely be a limitation of the survey. But I think the point is that it's not that the older folks don't report discrimination because they still do, right? And I think the idea or notion or assertion that Malaysia was great back then, it was, very rare to experience discrimination, that's not true. Older folks in our survey still report, two out of five of them still report having experienced discrimination in their school days. So it is still a problem back then, but I think the important fact to acknowledge that it has grown, possibly grown throughout the years. And because there were no studies done before this, at a systematic level, we have no way to properly estimate and go back and capture the information. So this is really where we can, capture that information as much as we can at the present.
So in the survey, how did most students talk about the way they handled a situation where they felt discriminated against?
Yeah, so I'm not generally sure on that question because, we didn't ask about how they handled it because I think, we should be asking these questions the next time. Anecdotally, I work with students. I've seen proactive students who have really dealt with their experience, processed it, reported it to their parents, told about it to their friends. But I've also seen a lot of students and a lot of comments reacting to the survey results that once it got out, that many students don't do anything about it, that, they kind of internalize these experiences, go on and live with the harm done. And sometimes, we tend to perhaps not remember the negative parts of life too much. And so it kind of works both ways, right? Mm-hmm. So we might have a rose-tinted picture of the past because, we're also misremembering some negative things.
What do you think we need to do to encourage more healthy conversation around discrimination in schools?
Yeah, that's a tough one because I think, discrimination is a very deep problem where we are just starting out. I think where we need to start in terms of our discourse is we need to start with acknowledgement. We chose this to release the results on Malaysia Day is because we wanted to disrupt this notion that, Malaysia on the grand scheme of things is okay. But we hear many say that there might not be any discrimination or that it's, not significant. So with this survey results, we hope that all parties, when I say parties, I mean political parties, the Ministry of Education, teachers, elders, whoever, parents, that they can acknowledge it as an issue. Because before we even get to policy, before we even get to more studies, we need people to to first acknowledge that it is an issue, right? To get people to the table and start talking about it.
Jason, I realize I should have started the interview with this, but since I still have you, is this something that you identify with, right? Is it something that you remember facing in your school days?
I think most definitely, right? So for example, you know, I don't speak Mandarin, although I am Chinese because I went to a school like once. And I remember when I went to the secondary school level, you know, language was a huge interface of interactions that you could be excluded from interactions because of your language. And I think it definitely went both ways, right? So I think I probably did not experience discrimination that much because that was, you know, perhaps both ways that I was English speaking, I would probably exclude Mandarin speakers from my circles and vice versa. But I think, you know, for a lot of people who I cannot, you know, I empathize with, but I cannot, you know, relate to are people who experience large power distances that of their discrimination, right? And especially in our survey where Indian respondents reported really, really high instances of discrimination, where 54% of them reported experiences of verbal discrimination, 40% reported being denied opportunities. Those are things, you know, I cannot relate to, but are rampant, which I, you know, I think at a personal level, I feel responsible to platform it in public sphere.
Which really brings us to this issue, right? How can we ensure that these sorts of situations are actually handled well in schools or seen at all and, you know, also work to prevent them from even taking place?
It's a great question. First, I think we need a proper recourse mechanism, right? I don't think our current framework on bullying is sufficient. It doesn't recognize that certain cases of discrimination, especially slurs, especially exclusion, are harms or offenses, right? So we don't have enough of a comprehensive framework. So we definitely need to start from there. Moving on then, you know, we need the proper institutions to investigate, penalize, and rehabilitate parties, you know, be it students, teachers, or policymakers in the education system to make sure that there are frameworks to hold them accountable towards discriminatory standards. That's the first thing. The second thing I think is we really need to revise our curriculum and what we're teaching our students, right? We need to revise it to include diversity, equity, and inclusion, or we call it in, you know, in the education circles, it's called DEI, where it's not just about flag waving, about, you know, being Malaysian and then respecting your neighbors and other races. It's not just about that. It's about learning about stereotypes, identity, and inequality that really, you know, lays the groundwork against discrimination. Because simply only relying on positive images isn't enough to prevent and acknowledge these forms of discrimination from happening.
So in closing, how are you planning to use these findings?
Yeah. So, you know, this survey is really scratching the surface here. You know, we're definitely going deeper into the survey hopefully on Children's Day, which is next month. We'll be releasing a deeper analysis on the survey, as well as a roadmap on how do you pursue anti-discrimination structures in education. Because, you know, I wish it was like there was a silver bullet here, but it really isn't. The Ministry of Education and I guess education system in Malaysia is incredibly complex, right? So there are a lot of layers and stakeholders that need to be properly accounted for. I think right now, you know, there are definitely more questions than answers. And that's we're really just starting out, and that's what we will incur more. But, you know, some people have responded to the survey and messaged me as well, saying, you know, why is this only being done now? Why are we suddenly asking these really basic questions when, you know, many of us perceive it to be the truth? So one, I would say, you know, that's our main reference. We didn't have any references before. But why are we only asking these questions now? I agree. Why is it only happening now? Where, you know, I'm 25 years old, you know, I haven't been on Malaysia, you know, lived in Malaysia, you know, for 25 years. And why is this only happening now when we had 58 years of our country to do so?
Jason, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks so much, Lynn, for having me.
That was Jason Wee, co-founder of Architects of Diversity and coordinator for the Sekolah Semua campaign. And they actually just released a survey, which was done on 2,441 school graduates and essentially found that overall, 50% of the people responding had experiences of perceived discrimination. But in fact, it's higher in the younger age group. People in the 18 to 30% age group had 59% of them responding that they had incidents of perceived discrimination. So we'd like to know, essentially, is this something that you remember facing? Do you remember facing discrimination while you were still in school? How did you handle it? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back for more of these messages, so keep them coming and keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.